This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hi, this is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz here from New York. And thanks for tuning in. What's going on, Rich? How you doing?
Golly, it's great. I'm in the beautiful, smoky western United States in California. But it's really nice. And on my way to go photograph a wedding today. That's always a love fest. I can't wait. And for any of you out there that are photographers and you call yourself photographers, you're not shooting weddings, whatever. But no, nobody has to shoot a wedding. It's okay.
Yeah, you were telling me you got a busy week. You got an interior design shoot. You got a wedding. You got some other sports stuff. You're nonstop.
I'm doing 2 days of big time kiteboarding, kite foil racing. Live stream. I'm the live stream photographer, kite foil racing for 2 days on the San Francisco Bay, right by the Golden Gate Bridge. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun and exciting. It's some best in the world. I like shooting the best in the world. So.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Let's get right into it. First, let me give you a little word from our friends at HD Photo Hub. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography businesses. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious admin time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so much more. Check out hdphotohub.com to find out more. And with that, let's get right into it. We have a nice, fun chat we're going to have today. Would you like to introduce our guest, Rich?
Yeah, she's a friend of the podcast. She is a talented photographer. I'll let her tell you all about it. I'd like to introduce Bethany Dietrich. And hello, Bethany.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Hi.
Uh-huh. You look great this morning. What's that little logo behind you? What's that going on in the wall?
It's actually something called NanoLeaf. It's a LED panels that you can connect together and make different shapes. Wow. And this actually happens to be my daughter's favorite abstract looking animal, a fox.
Looks like a kitty cat or a mouse kitty cat. There you go.
Do whatever you want it to be, Rich.
Okay. So Dietrich, Bethany, actually, I got a neighbor in Mexico named Dietrich. Anyway, I welcome to Shooting Spaces, and I'd like you to be so kind if you would give us the 1 minute and 30 second elevator pitch of who you are, where you came from, and what you're going to.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm born and raised in Iowa, which is where I'm at now. I'm actually in a town called Davenport, Iowa. We're about 2.5 hours west of Chicago. Basically, I was a office person, admin, secretary, what have you, for the past 18 years. I went directly from high school into the workforce. Didn't know what I wanted to do other than the fact that I was a creative person, just didn't have an outlet for it. Fast forward to about six or seven years ago, and I developed an interest in wedding videography. Knew nothing about cameras other than I enjoyed the composition aspect of it, and I fell naturally into the editing part of it with connecting beautiful music with beautiful people on screen. So I started shooting weddings, also developed an interest in real estate. I've always been around the real estate and construction or finance bubble, no matter where I've been in my career. So that always was of interest to me. So I had friends that had a drone license and they had a realtor ask them to shoot a home, but they didn't have a camera to shoot the interiors with. So I shot my first real estate listing video with a DJI Osmo. It was an absolute disaster.
Did your first full shoot with the Osmo? I did.
Shoot with the Osmo. Knew nothing about dynamic range, f-stop, had no idea that, I was going into also a house that had a lot of dark rooms, and it was not good, actually. So that kind of segues into kind of what helped me grow out of that, because at this point I'd always had a business name, and it actually is named after the street I live on, and it's actually become part of who I am. But the name of my business is called Highland Visual. I live on Highland Avenue.
Why don't you give people your website before we continue on? Because they want to look at your work while they're talking.
I'll give my Facebook first, just because my website's still a work in progress and probably won't look very good until I have some more time to work on it this winter. But you can find me on Facebook at Highland Visual. That's without any S at the end. There is a Highland Visuals out there that I'm, that's in Scotland. I'm not in Scotland, I'm here. So Highland Visual. And then I also am on Instagram, Highland_visual. So you can find me there and see my work there. Back in 2019, I decided at the end of the year that I was going to cut back on weddings and explore more real estate. It was something that interested me a lot more. And I was encouraged by realtors that had done video work with me that are just like, hey, if you did photos, it would be so much easier for me to just hire you for everything. So I'm like,
but
okay.
If I'm not mistaken at the time, sorry for interrupting, because I know a little bit of your backstory. You were still working full time at this point.
Right. I actually had been working part-time at the time, but still like working about 22 and a half hours a week. I had an amazing boss that allowed me to actually edit at work, and he wouldn't come until about 11 o'clock every day. So I had time to do kind of whatever I wanted, and he was cool with it. And so I was able to edit weddings and the other work that I was doing at work. So I did decide I wanted to get more into it and explore that more. And so I only took 3 weddings in 2020, and I coincidentally only took weddings in the final quarter of 2020. After that, shortly after, I was on a Facebook group for real estate photography, and someone named Jordan Powers posted that they just created a course on real estate cinematography, and they were offering like an early bird special and talking about, you know, the process. And I'm like, hey, this is right up my alley. I'd love to see what this is about. So I took the course. It's a really, really cool course, The Art of Real Estate Cinematography. And they made a nice provision of a Facebook group for all of the students. And when I joined that group, I basically met a good chunk of the PFRE community right in that group. I didn't know it at the time because I wanted to go to the first PFRE in Vegas. But I found out a little too late. It was already sold out. So I happened to meet all these people anyway. So I ended up, through meeting these people, found out that I could possibly try to edit real estate videos for them, because I ended up having this captive audience of photographers that had always been in the photography industry, not done any videos. And here they were introducing a whole new genre to their business offerings by offering video. They were learning all these skills from the course. But yet, even though there were provisions in the course for teaching how to edit, you could learn how to do it, and many did, but a lot of people didn't have the desire, and obviously the time. There's a lot of time involved, and as a real estate photographer, time is not a luxury that many of us have, especially in the busy season, which it was going into. So I found myself kind of at the center of this, and I started working for a couple rather well-known real estate photographers in the community that lived across the country, started editing for them. And it kind of grew from there. I now, I don't actively edit for everyone at the same time, but now I edit real estate videos for several people around the country, even Canada. So that's part of my business. And then the other part in New York. Yeah, in case you didn't pick up on this, I edit for Brian too. It just kind of exploded from there. And then with the pandemic, I was actually pushed off the cliff by my good friend Christine Cole out in Washington State. She pushed me off the cliff into photography because I was really apprehensive about it. And so she gave me some really great tools just to get started. I was watching Rich's videos on YouTube and learning all kinds of stuff to kind of get me out there and just do it, because I couldn't let fear get in my way. The methods that I used just to get up to that point, my clients loved it. I bought an eye guide, and I am the only person in Iowa, I believe, as of a couple months ago that has an eye guide. So that was a really big selling point. My clients love eye guide. They actually prefer it over Matterport most of the time. This isn't a plug for eye guide, by the way, but just my own experience. And then with the video tours, and I got my drone license last March, I created this umbrella of a full service offering, that one-stop shop that my clients could get everything they need and want in one place. And even the agents that would want to hire someone else, maybe they were a little more loyal to, or maybe their price point they're more comfortable with the others, they always knew that I was a good backup. And it's just been a great experience since then. So my life completely transformed. And then of course, with the pandemic, I wasn't suffering like a lot of my colleagues in the wedding industry were suffering because everything had been locked down, shut down. So I actually, it was a huge blessing in disguise that I had no idea was going, I was setting myself up for already. So, and I didn't miss any of my three weddings that fall. So that's, I think I went over the 1.5 minute elevator speech time limit, but Rich didn't
buzz
me.
It's a very tall building.
Yes, you didn't buzz me, so I'm good. I didn't get the, So yeah, well, there we go.
Well, speaking of iGUIDE, are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from a click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first 5 iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. That's goiguide.com to learn more. Did you get that?
Great job.
You got that. I'm also an iGUIDE provider. So how awesome is it, Bethany? It's so quick. It's easy. Clients love it.
It is. It's quick and easy. And actually those free iGUIDEs in the beginning really help. And their customer service is top notch. My first iGUIDE I ever did, actually, it's a funny story. I chose like a 7,000 square foot house.
Oh boy, jumping right into the water.
I figured if I was
shoot it with an Osmo.
No, I did not. I don't even know where that thing. Oh no, I sold it. I sold that Osmo long ago. It's really easy. It was difficult in the beginning. And I also learned that I need to read some information first before diving headfirst into it. But they were very patient with me and went through the whole process. And once you get the hang of it, literally, it's so quick. You go from room to room to room. And I used to try to like line everything up on site, but now I don't even have to do that anymore because the software, the Stitch software that they have will, if you go through every picture real quick, things just kind of snap into place. So the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And the built-in floor plans, my clients absolutely love those. They go, oh, well, can I get that iGUIDE real quick so that I can see the measurements? Obviously, you know, they have to say, you know, verify by the agent has to verify it, but it saves that extra step for the agent. So they love it. And a lot of them don't even know it exists. So when I tell them about it, they're really excited.
I will say one thing. The Ricoh camera, which is the iGUIDE, uses the Ricoh camera that goes into the, what do they call that? A planter? What's that?
Planix. That's the new version. You have the older version though, right, Bethany?
I do. I have the IMS-5. Yep. Which is the Canon body.
It's slick looking. It looks, I mean, I was really impressed when I physically saw this thing, the Planix. But I will say that the Ricoh camera, it's lately has been doing a fantastic job. I don't think there's any software update that I've gotten or what. I just must be lucking out with certain houses with certain colors or dynamic ranges, but they are looking straight out of the camera. HDR is looking really, really good. So I've been really happy with my Ricoh camera lately.
Good. Awesome.
There's probably another one in the works soon now. I keep hearing rumors like a Z2.
But I've heard about it, it's not going to be a better IQ, image quality, or dynamic range. It's going to be, I think, more battery life or something like that. But,
well, the battery life is awful on that thing. So
yeah, you got to plan your day around the battery life. The good news is it charges really quickly. So you can do it in the car from one shoot to another. And it's great. I did have mine shut down the other day. I got an error message. And I don't know if it was because it was really hot, but I couldn't finish it. And when I got home, I plugged it in and to my computer and just turned it on or turned it off. And I did a combination of, here, I got it right here. I forget what I did. I did a combination of like the Wi-Fi button or the one of the buttons. I just kind of held the button and held the other button and it finally snapped back in. So I'm happy that it wasn't a major issue. So one thing I would say is I wish I had a backup camera. So I might be getting a second Ricoh camera. You had a second camera, right, Brian? Didn't you have two?
Yeah, I have two. I have a backup just in case.
Smart. Yeah.
But you know what? Even if you don't get the Z1, you can even get like the V as a backup, but it's only like $250, $300. And, you know, it's not your main camera. And, you know, God forbid you're on a job like you are and you have an error message. At least you're not out of luck. And the V quality won't compare to the Z1, but at least, you know, you don't have to go to your client and say, my camera broke. Sorry. We have to come back again next week.
It's not a good feeling, I'll tell you that. So.
Anyway, let's get back to it. And part of what I love about your story, Bethany, is that you're kind of the opposite of most of the people in our industry. Most of the people in our industry have photography backgrounds and they started incorporating video as an extra service. And you're kind of the opposite. You know, you're a video person through and through first, and you recently started incorporating photos to your workflow. So do you still consider that? What you do? Are you a real estate videographer who also shoots photography if you need it? Or are you at this point just an all-encompassing business where you can provide any service you need?
Full service. I consider myself full service at this point. Once photography became clearer, I tend to overthink things. I tend to overanalyze and try to be perfect with everything I do. And one thing I've learned, especially over the last month, 2 months even, because I mean, I feel like I'm a toddler stage right now in the photography world, but it's gone so quickly. And just, you know, I've only been full time for myself for a year. So that is something I didn't mention. I've been working for myself since June of last year. I ended up, you know, I felt really bad letting the old man go, but I took care of it. Sorry, that sounded bad. I didn't take care. I made sure.
You put him out to pasture. Okay.
So I've been working for myself now for a year, but just by myself or not by myself, but my own business, solely self-employed. That's it. Hard stop.
How good does it feel?
How does it feel?
How good does it feel?
It feels amazing. I wish I'd done it sooner, but I do think that this, the circumstances that got me to where I am today were a result of everything going on in the last year. You know, there's that word pivot that actually has kind of gotten a little overused sometimes, but it is true. I literally,
it was on again last night. I think I said, did I say that to you the other day? That Friends episode when Ross is pulling that couch up it was on pivot. Last night. I saw it. Pivot. Yeah. Anytime someone says pivot, I think of that immediately. Anyway, moving on.
No, all good. I feel really good. I feel that just in the last year, my confidence level has gone up quite a bit, especially because working in the jobs that I have, being a support person for someone else, I always felt like I was furthering their goals, making them successful. And I used to think that made me successful. And while there's nothing wrong with those industries, I mean, obviously they need those jobs, you know, the support, the people need support. In any industry, but I felt like that really, I know now that was not the right place for me now. But however, in that same sentence, I also recognize that if I hadn't gone through that, I mean, that it was almost 2 decades that I was in that industry. Customers, you know, I built my customer service skills. I learned how to deal with, you know, clients, even though they weren't necessarily my clients directly. I was the first face they would usually see or talk to. So I really had to learn. Those soft skills were built upon, and that's really an essential part of the industry we work with. And it's really easy, especially when we get into a busy season like we are now. And if we're talking to our agents in a way that, you know, obviously we can't cater to their every need, and we have to be assertive and, you know, that kind of thing when it comes to what they're asking for, we still need to learn how to conduct ourselves in a professional manner. And so I felt like that really helped me in that regard, but no, I'd never go back. In fact, I still get emails from the temp agencies that I used to work through and be like, we have the perfect opportunity for you. And I'm just like, oh God, man, to think I used to get excited about those type of jobs. And now I'm like, no, never, ever, ever, ever. Don't think so. So
those always come in. I think, you know, going back probably 2009 when I used to work full time and I got laid off and I was looking for a job and I signed up with, I guess, was it Monster? Is that the site? monster.com.
Oh, the job site. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they still a thing even? I don't know. I haven't looked for a job in a while, but I still get emails like every 3 or 4 months, like we found perfect matches for you from 13 years ago. So those are just keep coming.
Yeah. So even with the especially with the shortage and the workers everywhere now, especially they're coming in a lot. So I haven't had the guts to hit unsubscribe yet, but I think it's coming.
Well, you're in now. There's no going back.
Oh yeah. No. I love what I do. I love who I work with. I love the people that I've met along the way that have just been incredible in helping me learn and the fact that I've been able to help people now, even at this point, it's just a really, really great feeling to have people approach you and ask you for help. And I'm all about, you know, I'm always available about, you know, especially, and what I'm referring to is mostly video editing. So the editing side of my business is a little bit lesser known in the photography community. And so I feel comfortable with what I've learned over the last several years. Even in the last like 18 months, my knowledge has expanded a lot, because when you're editing for other people, their market's different, their tastes are different. They may want graphics and animations and all kinds of things that I didn't necessarily know how to do before. And so in order to continue working for my clients, I have to keep learning. And so it's just, it's expanded my repertoire, I guess you could say. And so now I'm able to share that knowledge with others and do it in a way that's simple, instead of like find the simplest way to do it. Because at the end of the day, we're still working for agents, for people that need to get stuff sold. And I think Rich said it's not brain surgery. I think that's something you said recently. So
I say two things. It's not brain surgery. And if I can do it, you can do it.
It's true. Right?
You have a few other things you say. Clarification of expectations is your like go-to line.
There it is.
I do. That's, you know, yeah. What that to me though encompasses every business out there. Even with your relationships, with your wife, clarification of expectations with your wife is really, really good, right, Brian?
Yep, 100%.
Bethany, how's your husband? He's got a good clarification of what you're going to be doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. In fact, he's kind of he enjoys it too. So
he works with you now, right?
He does. Only sometimes. He's pretty busy right now. He's a painter. So he's like trying to get tons of work in before it starts getting cold. He's coming to PFRE with me. So he will be, and not just as a plus one, he will be attending with me. So he's going to get a lot of knowledge, well, pushed in really, really quickly. But then again, with the online streaming library that is being produced this year, he's going to have a lot more resources available. And he does a couple different jobs right now, and he's trying to get out of some of them. So I really would love for him to work with me more and to kind of get to that point where we can both tackle more work. Because right now it's basically just me. So,
Bethany, this is a perfect opportunity to say a little bit about PFRE, the Photography for Real Estate Conference in Vegas this year, the third year. What, you have an involvement with that? What's going on? What are you doing with PFRE and Brandon Cooper? What's up there?
Well, I feel that even though video is still a small part of PFRE in general, since it is photography, mostly photography focused, it is important. And basically off of the last, you know, year and a half that I've been editing for other photographers, I've learned that there's definitely a need for editors like myself that have a better understanding of how the process works and the expectations, setting those expectations for clients. As with photography, there's a lot of editing that's being outsourced overseas, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of capable editors out there. However, the ratio of good work and good communication and timing and all that, that's a little bit more difficult to find. Especially sometimes the language and cultural barrier can be a little difficult to navigate.
Well, that's the most important thing, the communication, you said, because, you know, you do all my editing, as we spoke about. And before you started doing the work for me, it's the communication, especially when you're using overseas editors and I'm trying to tell them what I like in my particular style. And God knows what comes back. And you know, when we started working together, it was whatever it was, an hour phone call telling you what I like, and obviously some fine tuning, but you know, you picked up on it and you know, full-fledged ahead. So that communication thing is worth all the money itself.
I agree.
And the other thing too, that I found, I'm actually starting to do a little bit of outsourcing myself, and I've actually been really, really pleased. But the thing I've always found, and the thing I've known about for a long time, because I deal with people that have done that, do a lot of overseas offsite editing, outsourcing. It's also the consistency. You know, these companies overseas, even if it's a company based in the U.S., they're probably using overseas editors because of very, you know, price reasons and things like that. And they may have a great guy on your projects for 3, 4, 5 projects, and then they might throw in the last guy because everybody else is busy. So you get that huge jump, and that's understandable. I mean, how can 5 different people have the same results, even if it's streamlined to be consistent? So you're the one-man shop, or one-person shop, and you are providing consistency and not only reliability, much better reliability, but the consistency issue. What do you have a trouble remembering each of your individual clients' requests for specific looks and things like that?
Not typically. I haven't really run into that. And part of it is because some of the clients that I have kind of used me from the ground up. So they trust that I can produce something that that basically becomes their look. So
like your look, and that's what led them to you.
Yeah. And I think what also happens too is there are some clients that I got literally right at the beginning where they were brand new. I've done some consulting and coaching for a couple photographers that just were very, very lost. A couple things are really huge with real estate videos, and that's pacing and music. It can be very, very simple to cut together a real estate video, but it has to flow well. And some of the things I talk about are kind of like riding a bike. It's just like it becomes the muscle memory is there the faster you do it. Just like with editing your own photos. I mean, I still can't really edit photos. I actually outsource all my photos right now. So, but that allows me the time to do what I'm good at too. So the people that I've actually consulted for, I had one guy that started sending me, he'd send me 200 clips, and it wasn't, 200 something clips. And I don't require that anybody cull their footage, because I can usually go through and find exactly what I need. However, when it takes me longer, it tends to cost a little bit more, because I'm obviously they're working way too hard and way too much. It's actually costing them more money because it takes me more time to go through their footage. So there's instances where I've seen 4 shots of a corroded Kohler ugly sink close up turned on, and I'm basically like, please don't do that again, because I'm not going to use it. I'm kind, you know, I'm very cordial to my clients.
Do you ever offer insight, you know, like consultation? Do you ever, you know?
I do offer consultation, and I kind of explain how to shoot for an edit, and not necessarily how to shoot video itself, because again, as I mentioned, there's courses for that on how to shoot itself. However, I try to explain, look, what's the flow you want through your house? What do you want to show first? It makes sense to shoot a house usually from front to back, and also to think about how an editor is going to approach this. The editor was never in the house. And sometimes it helps, especially, I know, Brian, you had a really, really, really big house recently. It was like, 10,000 square feet or something like that. And you sent me the iGUIDE, and that really, really helped me to actually visualize some rooms in a house. But for an editor that's never seen this house before, it's really important to think about, okay, my editor is doing this. I'm sending this to an editor. If I were getting it and I'd never been in the house, I'd want to connect those rooms when I shoot them. So I'd want to provide some point of reference for that editor so that they can understand, okay, where are we going in this house? And so that just gradually over time, and I've trained, I have 2 editors that work, I shouldn't say necessarily work for me, but they do provide backups for when I'm out of town or can't can't do an edit. And I've basically trained them from the ground up. They were editors before, but not for real estate. So it's kind of a different animal. It's a little different, and you're not dealing with people usually, unless you're doing like a agent walkthrough tour, which I actually have one of those today. It's a little bit different. So I've taught them, and I actually have one that's successfully working for other people now, and actually has like his own client. And so it tells me that it's working. It tells me that the methods are working. When you aren't an expert in something, handing it to someone who's more versed in it and listening to their advice just makes everything easier. And then it also makes your client or makes their clients happy, because they see this product that, wow, you know, these are great shots. This is a great edit. I want more of it. So it may be a higher investment having a domestic editor that provides a full service versus saving a couple bucks and hiring someone overseas. And one of the obstacles that I see sometimes is, and I'll talk about this more, I don't quite know exactly everything I'm going to be talking about with the presentation. It's going to be kind of a little bit of a taste of what I'm talking about now, but kind of going into a little bit more in depth. But the other thing too is how do you price your services to allow for hiring an editor, especially someone who's going to take a little bit more of a chunk out of your bottom line. So those are all things that I'm going to kind of touch on and discuss. I probably won't be going start to finish through an edit, just because a lot of people already kind of know that part. And again, there's so many different platforms and that kind of thing. So I kind of want to keep it strictly to the customer relations aspect of it and what to look for in an editor. And even if you're interested in becoming an editor yourself, you know, some people have asked me about that. And so just pretty much at this point, I'm going to make a really long laundry list, and then I'm going to cross a bunch of it out, and then I'm going to send the list to Brian, and Brian's going to tell me all the things that I missed. No, I'm just kidding. So
no, I think the truth is, though, what you're saying, I think there's more value in talking about the business side of things and your approach to editing and, you know, your approach to outsourcing versus hands-on showing people how to edit. Because like you said, there's a lot of that out there. And one thing, Rich, you and I always talk about is that people in our community never talk enough about the business side of things. Everything's about the latest gear or the coolest new technique, but there's never that much conversation. And you know, even here on the podcast, we get feedback a lot that we should do more business side episodes and not so much gear talk and other stuff. So I think going into that side of things definitely will be more valuable to people than just, you know, a hands-on video training, a video editing training. So.
Yep.
But I think it's important to caveat or include always with business. It's different in every different market. There's so many variables. There's your abilities. How good is your work to charge? So, you know, it's tough to say, you know, I think you should charge this or charge that. But really, I think what you can give is a baseline, just something, and caveat it by going, hey, this is just what works for me, or one option, because people should never feel that like, how much should I license this photo for? And then in one group, they'll say $500 an image. Well, that might work great for some people, but not for others. But it's good, great information to have, so you can make that choice in your market.
For sure. Yeah, and to touch on that just a little bit, it all comes down to not just the market, but where do your clients place the value? And if you're, yep. I mean, I live in a Midwest urban area of about 250,000 people, like in the whole area. My prices, I've given my pricing to someone who lives like out in California, and they thought it was high for the Midwest. And like, it's not necessarily where you live in this case, it's that what is gonna separate your client apart from someone else. And I virtually have very little competition where I live, especially in the higher end kind of thing. So it just depends on what kind of clients you're going after and what kind of value you're providing to them. And they eventually will see that value. And especially when they start getting referrals to clients that they've never dreamed about having, because they've all of a sudden started providing these like really cool services. I've had three houses with the same agent on the same cul-de-sac in the last 3 months. So people talk, And that's part of that value too. So it's just like with anything else, it's very similar.
Awesome. Great. Well, before we wrap up, as we're running low on time, let me say a final word from our friends at PhotoUp. We all know that PhotoUp is the leader in real estate photo editing, but did you know that they offer video editing? Video editing too. Look at that. Virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery, virtual assistants, and more. Having all your real estate marketing under one roof helps streamline your workflow so you can spend more time shooting spaces and less time behind your computer. Visit photoup.net/shootingspaces or click the PhotoUp link on the Shooting Spaces website to receive $100 discount on your first full month of PhotoUp services. And make sure to mention Shooting Spaces when you sign up to receive 10 free credits to try out any of the PhotoUp services. Again, photoup.net/shootingspaces. And with that, Bethany, why don't you say one more time your website or give people some info on how to reach you in case they're interested in finding out more about your services, not even necessarily editing, but just for some consulting or anything else they might be interested in.
Sure. Again, I'm on Facebook, Highland Visual. And Instagram, Highland_visual. And if you want to send me an email, my email is just simply highlandvisual@gmail.com.
Pretty simple, pretty straightforward.
Keep it. I like to keep it simple.
All
I can be a very complicated person.
All right. So thank you for coming on, Bethany. It's always a pleasure chatting. We chat often, but it's always a pleasure chatting on the air. I think this is the first time we've had you here. So looking forward to seeing your streaming presentation at the PFRE conference, and looking forward to seeing you again in Vegas. Hopefully I still haven't booked my flight, but hopefully all will go well and I'll be out there. So
yeah, I haven't booked mine either, but I think I will be in the next couple of weeks here. I think we're running out of time already. We're already halfway through August. It's hard to believe.
So,
thanks again for having me on. This has been a blast.
Pleasure. Well, you know, it's another fantastic Shooting Spaces podcast wraps up. I'd like to say until next time, go shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.